Blog Talk Radio.
This is We Talk Productions presenting Black Urban America. We Talk Production is one of the few Black internet radio stations that discuss Black issues and solutions. My name is Kenny Jones. Black Urban America come on Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. On Wednesday, we have Shaka Zulu with the Elephant in the Room. On Fridays, we have April Jones, Birth to Life. And on Saturdays, we have Provocative Thought with Carlton Snead. All these shows start 8 p.m. On the third Tuesday of each month, we have Keep Calm, Let's Discuss Racism with T. Nathan Farley and Reginald Virgil and I get her name right. Then on the last Thursday of each month, we have Shades of a Nation with Michael Francis. But now, tonight, I have a return guest. 2 weeks ago, I had this gentleman on, and the sound, and I still have technical problems. I called Blog Talk and tell them to investigate it. They never got back to me, so I got to get back with them, because I feel these shows are important. We have tonight a Mr. Sterling Daniels, who is an educator out of Philadelphia. Good evening, Mr. Daniels.
Good evening. How's it going?
Oh, you're loud and clear.
Okay.
You're loud
good.
And clear. You're loud and clear. Explain to me, to the audience, and to the downloaders, what is the purpose of adult education?
I guess for the most part, it's continuing your career, enhancing your career, moving forward, making changes. So maybe you've got a course, your life is set in one course, and you've decided maybe it's time for a change, or you're going to that next level.
Yeah, and I was under the notion that that adult education was for individual to get a second chance because they drop out of school.
I think it's definitely for a second chance. It doesn't necessarily have to be because you've dropped out of school. Yeah, it could be that you've dropped out, you've done some things in a different direction, and now you've decided, hey, this is for me. Maybe you didn't think it was before. It also can be that you did go to school and now you want to continue even further.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Tell me, what do the average individual look like? Well, I mean, what are some of the demographics of the average individual that attend that take adult education courses?
Okay. Actually, that's a good question. I can tell you what I see. That's about it. I haven't been in the research area for a while. So I will tell you, I see females more than males. I see different ages, but maybe like 20s and 30s. I see parents, female parents, who are looking to do more for their family. So that's what I see.
Okay, how about race?
Okay, so in the area of adult education, I was teaching at a college, Esperanza College, and again, I can't say again because we haven't talked before on the show, but in terms of race, this particular college catered to Hispanics looking to continue their education. But because of its location, very urban, I was seeing Hispanics and Blacks. So.
Okay. Let's stay there for a second. I'm going to shift the conversation a little bit down the road, but I want to stay here. Right here. You said there's more females than males.
Statistics are around the country. That's what I see at this college.
Okay. And your school catered to the Black and brown population because it's the urban center.
So I guess let me just go through the rundown. So I was teaching English to adults, and this is mostly Hispanic adults. So what we're talking about is someone in maybe the Northeast Kensington area of Philadelphia, which is very Hispanic, even monolingual. So you can actually live in this area of Philadelphia and never encounter English. And so part of that challenge is they're going back to school and they're struggling with their English.
Is Kensington a rough area?
It has that reputation, but then a lot of areas of Philadelphia, I know during the whole crack epidemic, this was ground central. And in my opinion, this is the last holdout. You know, like Philadelphia is recovering from that, like a lot of cities. But I feel like Kensington is that last area that just doesn't want to give up the crack problem.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of places are recovering. And to me, how they're recovering is using the strategy of gentrification, moving people out and moving certain people in. How do you feel about that, Mr. Daniels? Do you think that the change in the urban, I know this is going off the subject, but you think the change of the urban areas, the faces in the urban areas and the families in the urban areas are changing?
I gotta think, because you just hit me with something. Like, I don't think I've ever connected the two like that. Like, recovering from the crack epidemic was happening because of gentrification.
Well,
so, like, that's a doozy. Like, it makes sense. It makes sense. I just never thought about it like that.
Oh, okay. Let me give you some examples. Harlem, no longer African American.
Right.
Bedford Stuyvesant. They made movies about Bedford Stuyvesant. No longer African American. Washington, D.C., no longer African American. And these sections were hit very hard. Now you go to these centers, these different sections, it's not black and brown living there any longer. And
right.
The crime rate has been reduced. But these people
right.
go to other areas and it seems like the behavior just switched to another center.
Right. I do know, I was hearing about Harlem changing just yesterday. And I know Philadelphia, I was reading, is one of the fastest gentrifying cities in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading somewhere, I want to get this right, I think I was reading somewhere where like 18 people a day were getting evicted. For at
wow.
some point. Like
wow.
I think I read this over the summer.
That's 18 people with 18 with families, 18 families being
right.
evicted.
Right. And you see it. You see these condos and these swanky apartment complexes rising overnight, and you gotta like I would drive through and I gotta think, wait. What was there before? Well, that was like somebody's store there last year, and now it's an mm-hmm. apartment building. And it's just amazing. Like, I wonder, where are people going? I mean, I know they're going, a lot of times they're going down south. But I guess it's just amazing that it's happening and no one's saying is it good or bad, or no politician is saying it.
No, because I'm going to tell you why. Politicians are not going to say anything because these are new constituents in their
right.
districts, and they don't want
right.
to alienate the new the new residents that move in their districts. If they had gerrymandering, so yeah, it's a lot going on, and there's a lot of money involved, millions and billions of dollars.
Right, and we're not talking about some people just taking advantage of the market where, okay, it's a good time to sell, let me sell my property. This is planned and structured. There are developers, I would imagine, getting together and saying, this is the time, this is the place. And I believe they are probably talking to politicians and greasing some palms. I can't say that for sure. It just is happening so well, and so it's like a coordinated effort. Like, have you ever seen like a marching band go out and they have their stuff all planned out? This
mm-hmm.
was rolled out with precision, you know. Like, nothing can happen this fast by accident.
Yeah, it's not by accident. Now,
right.
with the changing of the communities, some of these changes of the community, what do you think will be the impact on the educational system? Because these young families got to send their kids somewhere for education.
Right. Different factors where I don't know. Like, we've got the charter schools coming in and they're siphoning off money from the district. Well, from the funding, from the pot, and then you've got the gentrification. So I wonder, like, when these new families are coming in, where are they sending their kids? So are these new families that are affording these new developments, are they actually sending their kids to public school? Are they sending them to charter? Are they sending them to private school? I actually don't know. I haven't seen numbers on that yet.
They probably send them to private and charter schools until that particular district or city can improve the level of the educational system. And like I was watching the deal with the documentary about 2 years ago on HBO, and they were covering the same issue that we talk about right now, how there's a project across the street from a beautiful private school, and they kept that project there, but around that project it changes, it's gentrification. Now, the private school felt so guilty that they have certain scholarships for the kids in the private in the housing development. So, that, I mean, yeah, that's good. Okay, we gonna get a chance. Those kids gonna get a chance to get an adequate education. But how about the other kids that were not selected? What are you gonna do about?
Right.
What is wrong with the educational system, or is there anything wrong with the educational system?
Well, I want to speak on that. I think it's good that the school is doing that, but are they doing that as that poor neighborhood is disappearing? So
yes.
It looks like a good gesture, but you can afford to do that gesture because you know you're not going to have to do it for very long.
Right. Because they're probably going to tear down the projects.
Right.
Redevelop it because they're good bricks. And so they're going to redevelop it and make them out condos, high-rise condos, you know, that cost $3,000 a month. Like, who can afford? What average income person or medium income to low income can afford that type of rent?
And that's what I wonder also. So if people are coming in affording that type of rent, what jobs are they getting and where are these jobs coming from? Because that's been the problem with, you know, we're coming out of this recession where the jobs weren't around. And I understand that, you know, these are young people, mostly white, coming from the suburbs, I guess, looking for jobs. But what jobs are they getting that we've been missing? That's what I wonder.
Well, they say the number one job market is the tech jobs, the high tech jobs, marketing jobs, and everything. I mean, let's get back to the public school education. Do you think that since we talk about high tech and marketing, do you think that the average school in a black and brown neighborhood, predominantly black and brown neighborhood, you think that school is preparing our young youth for careers?
Not in tech. I've seen some schools doing the best they can. I do like vocational schools. I've taught at a couple vocational schools. I know STEM is the new buzzword, and I hope that lasts. But I haven't seen firsthand from a STEM school. I haven't seen students who've gone to one or been at one. But that
I am unfamiliar with STEM.
Let me not mess this up. I have my computer. And I know there's tons of people listening who know what STEM is. Science, technology, engineering, and mathematics.
Oh, okay.
So those are the new four R's. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. Now the thing is, I haven't taught at a STEM school, so in terms of what's going on behind the doors, I hope it's great stuff, and I hope it matters, and I hope it makes a difference.
Why do black and brown have the highest high school dropout rate in America?
I think there is it ranges from negligent to an actual assault on what we're taught. So okay. I heard a quote from Malcolm X. You cannot, I'm going to butcher this. You cannot trust someone who mistreats you to teach you.
So, oh, yes. That is a good quote. Yeah, I'm aware of that quote.
How can I'm two aware. Things go along? So you've got, on the one hand, Philadelphia, largest city in the state of Pennsylvania, and then you have some other large cities, Pittsburgh, but then the money comes from Harrisburg, and there's this resentment, and again, this is my conjecture and talking with other teachers, that we feel that there's this resentment from Harrisburg to give us the amount of money that we get because it's based on population of students. So Philadelphia has a high amount of students. They're getting money that maybe Harrisburg resents having to give us so much money. Now, when we get it, doesn't go very far, again, because we have so many students. So there's that battle. Then there's this, to be honest, I think there's a failure on three fronts: administration, teachers, and parents. And it is where I actually had hesitation with agreeing to do the interview, because I'm wondering, you know, if I do this interview and I'm saying things that I really believe, you know, I'm going to upset some people, because I upset some people last year at a staff meeting, and we're sitting around, either teachers, educators in the school, the principal is saying, let's put our heads together and figure out how we can get students to do better on the Keystone. And after so many meetings like that, I just think to myself, we can discuss this all day, all year, every year, but there are teachers in the building who aren't teaching.
Mm.
I know it. You know it. And I've been to
that
others.
That is still going
schools.
On. What happened to the accountability?
Well, there's the accountability in the sense that, you know, we are observed a couple times a year, and it gets based on tenure. So if you're a new teacher, you're being observed officially four times a year. Unofficially, the book can pop in and observe whenever he wants to or she wants to. But then if you have tenure, maybe you're only getting observed once a year. Okay. So if I'm only getting observed once a year, maybe I'm relaxing a bit. And they're great teachers. They're great teachers. I don't want to slight anyone who's really doing their job. But there are teachers who hand out a worksheet. Do this. There you go. I've taught you something.
Wow.
And if anyone sits there and tells me, if any teacher comment and calls you and tells you I'm not telling the truth, they're lying. We are in every school I've seen it. So,
you know, actually in 2018, you know, there are still schools that don't provide homework, don't provide any projects, and they don't even have to take their books on.
I think everyone's doing projects that I see, but yeah. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed and I don't give homework as much as I need to. My school, they're more on top of that. Like the principal's like, you will give homework at least three times a week. And I'm trying to keep up to that. And it's making sure it's quality. Like to me, if I see my lesson isn't coming across, that means I need to give more homework. If everyone gets it, maybe I can lighten up on the homework and we move on. But I want to get back to, you know, I said there was three problems, and I talked about, you know, some teachers that aren't pulling their weight. Then you've got administration that's maybe
not pulling their weight in the sense of supporting or, okay, when it comes to administration, I would say the problem I see is every time an administrator gets in, if he has some weight, he's got to prove or she's got to prove that they're doing something new. So every year or so, you get a new person who's got to prove they're doing something new. So we're always doing something new and nothing sticks. Maybe what we were doing last year was working, but now we've got to abandon that and do something new. So every couple of years, there's a new change, there's new terminology, and it doesn't stick because you're not doing it long enough. That's me. That's what I see. And then the other thing is parents. There are parents who are just not in there for their kids. And I say that, and as soon as I said that, I realized, you know, I didn't say a good thing. You know, it's going to come out wrong because I do think parents are struggling to do what they can. And but I think that time of supporting your kids academically has disappeared for some reason. You know, I came home. My mom wanted to see that I did some homework. If I had no homework to show her, she had workbooks for me to do that she bought. So I was going to show my mom my homework because I didn't want to do extra work. Saturday morning came along. You had those cartoons, Multiplication Rock, that would remind her. And she would be like, what's 7 times 5? If I couldn't answer it, I couldn't go outside. I had to go study my times tables.
Right.
Don't see that anymore. I you know, we have report cards 4 times a year, and I will see maybe 3 parents the whole year.
What?
Yeah.
3 parents?
So, yeah.
Wow. That is disturbing. And hey, you want to know something else, too, Mr. Daniels, that today's parents, and I don't want to lump everyone in the same category, but today's parents in some cultures are really not putting a priority on education. They might be putting priorities on something else. And maybe up to economic factors, you really got to come. I mean, you got parents today that working 2 jobs, relying on after-school programs. Don't you know, I read an article that the average Japanese child in Japan spends 3 hours a day of studying. Homework or no homework?
I'm sure it's more than that.
In the science, technology, and math.
Story for you, but it's, let me say, I do think, I do. I don't think it's just parents being lazy. I do think parents are overwhelmed. I do think parents are figuring out, you know, I've got this job and I'm looking for another job, or I'm looking for ways to supplement, and parents are overwhelmed. They're worked to death, or they're struggling to find work. And I don't want to say that they're just being lazy. I am saying something is different. I don't know what it stems from, but my mom was on my case, and, you know, she was coming home hours after I came home, but she was still on my case about my schoolwork. I remember my mom had to come to school once in 8th grade. Once. Because I wasn't acting right and I wasn't pulling my weight. I wasn't getting the grades. And she tore my behind up for the fact that she had to take off of work.
Right.
And she said, if I ever have to take off work for some silliness, this is what happened.
mm-hmm.
Let me get back to you mentioned Japan. So it turns out I taught in China for 2 years and saw a big difference. I'm talking about kids who go to school 6 days a week.
Wow.
Not 5. They're going to school 6 days a week. This was a college It's called an electrical college, and what they're doing is they're training employees that who are going to be working throughout the country on the electrical grid. So it's like, imagine a college specifically for people who are going to work for the local electric company or something.
Wow.
But, so I'm teaching English, but they're going to school 6 days a week to like 9 o'clock at night.
Wow.
They're
9 o'clock
studying
at night?
At 9 o'clock at night. Yes. And they all, most of them wearing glasses because they've been ruining their eyes studying.
Right.
And it's not a joke. So they have one chance to take a test to get into college. They fail that test, there's no college. That decides their whole future.
Wow.
So education is much more serious. So.
Man, maybe we should adopt some of those practices and whatnot. So tell me, you know, you say it's a three-pronged of reasons of why, you know, some of our schools are failing, administrative, teachers, and parents. So how can districts that are quote-unquote failing, how can they, what type of solutions or strategy they can develop? Because everything been tried under the sun.
Has everything been tried under the sun?
No, I mean, according to them.
Okay, then the question is, so if we're doing worse, that means we used to be doing better. Why aren't we going back to the things we used to be doing?
Right.
So, I don't know. I don't know if I'm just imagining things were better, or if there's some real statistics out there. I do know things like in my education to become a teacher, we were specifically taught that it's been proven time and time again that it's bad to teach to the test. So, for instance, I need to be teaching my students, you know, I'm teaching English literature, I need to be teaching them the fundamentals of how to interpret the literature, how to think critically about the literature, not I'm going to give it, here's what you need to know.
Wow.
So much pressure on state testing, that's what we're being told to do. How do we teach so that they will pass the Keystone, the state test in Pennsylvania? Not how do we teach so that they can get into college or to get into the workplace. How do we teach so they pass the state test?
Wow.
And it goes against every single study you will find. That's the worst way to teach.
If it goes against every study that you could find, because George Bush, the son, came out with this testing to show accountability and what have you, and that was, it's not working. I mean, according to you, like, you're not supposed to teach for the test. You're supposed to teach about critical thinking and critical analysis and what have you. But my God, we still rely on this testing.
I think what George Bush Jr. did is, I guess, what government can only do. He created this document, No Child Left Behind.
Right.
And it says, we will make sure every child will succeed. But then how do you enforce that? Everything is connected to funding. So if it's really, really hard to interpret, and different states have been able to interpret it differently, whereas you can withhold funding if teachers aren't doing the right thing. You can give funding for places that are doing the right thing, but it's really just a matter of we're going to take funds or give funds. It didn't really do anything besides that. We're going to either punish or we're going to reward, but it didn't say this is what exemplary teaching. We figured it out, now go do it. It's hear the carrot or hear the stick.
Mr. Daniels, I want to appreciate you for coming on my show. Again, I apologize for what happened 2 weeks. I'm glad we had this conversation. You made me look at education in a different manner.
Well, thank you. And again, I'm not worried about what happened before. I guess I'm worried about misrepresenting. I'm giving the experience that I know, and I can imagine people are listening to me, and there's all kind of opinions. There's going to be teachers upset about what I said and parents upset about what I said. But I'm telling you, I'm just telling you what I see. I think if there's a solution, it needs to be cultural, because at this point,
I agree.
What has happened has affected us culturally. And I guess I'm saying there's been an attack on the Black culture, and that has been what has eroded education, along with some other things. And it seems like the solution has to be cultural too. Like, we need to reject outside influences on our culture and start from scratch. And I don't know what that needs to look like.
Trying to do that same thing, what you're just talking about.
Say that again.
Newark, New Jersey.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. The mayor, Amir Baraka. Well, the son of Amir Baraka is the mayor now, and he's an ex principal and teacher. So, and these schools are. But what I understand, the schools are doing much better. And of course, you know, if you know Amir Baraka, he was all about culture. Right from Temple. Right. He was Dean of African American Studies at Temple University.
Okay, okay. I went to Temple myself. I think it's going to have to be. I can't imagine it coming from administration. I think it's going to have to be from parents and from the community.
Well, the parents are going to have to find some time.
Right.
And because, from my understanding of other cultures, education is an investment to the future.
Right. Right.
All right. Mr. Dennis, got to go.
Okay.
Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for giving me a chance to use my voice.
All right.
I do appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay.
Take it easy.
All right. Take it easy.
Peace. You know, very interesting. You know, it takes a lot of character for a person that's working in a profession and to expose some of the issues. He said, can't leave it up to administration. Got to come from the community. Got to come from the parents. Culture is missing. You know, and for myself, I've been beating this drum about we have to add culture to our solutions. And he didn't even know. I don't know if he listened to my show before, but, you know, basically he was saying some of the same things I've been telling you throughout the year. So, that's it for tonight. I am because we are. We are because I am. See ya.